Switchcraft is brought to you live 3 times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 p.m. U.S. Eastern and on Saturday at whatever time I can get to it. Tune in live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. This episode of Switchcraft is brought to you by Luke J. Support Switchcraft and my other content for as little as a dollar over at patreon.com/runjumpstomp. Before we get started with all of the Nintendo news today, I have an announcement about the podcast that I want to make sure that I say. I switched my podcast hosting. So basically, I upload to my podcast host, and then when you guys download the show, you download from the podcast host rather than downloading directly from me. So I switched the podcast host. Now, if I've done everything correctly, and I've done this before, but if I've done everything correctly, then you should experience absolutely no issues at all. However, if I've made a horrible mistake and the show disappears from your lists over the next month, because I'm going to keep the old hosting up for about a month just to make sure that all of the redirects go through. If the show disappears sometime in the next month, or, well, anytime really, then all you have to do is go to anchor.fm/NSC for Nintendo Switchcraft. So one more time, that URL is anchor.fm/NSC. Once I shut down the old hosting, then everything will just go back to runjumpstomp.com, and you'll be able to go there, and it will always have the appropriate links. But right now, if I did that, that would cause some problems. So I have to wait about a month in order to get that to work the right way. And then after that, runjumpstomp.com will go right back to having all of the links and everything. Well, actually, it's all still there. It should just redirect you to my new host. So again, hopefully you don't experience any issues at all, but I just wanted to let everybody know, if you do experience issues, then all you have to do to fix it is go to anchor.fm/NSC, and the show will be right over there. So today, I had the day off of work, and I made a few videos for my YouTube channel. If you haven't already subscribed to my YouTube channel, head on over to youtube.com/runjumpstomp. I got 3 first look videos for games that are coming to the Nintendo Switch. And I wanted to talk, I can't talk about like my overall thoughts with all of them because they're currently under embargo. But all of that stuff is on the videos. And if you go there, the videos are going to come out next Thursday on February 7th, like right around noon Eastern. So the first one is Oniken for the Nintendo. Well, they're all for the Nintendo Switch, but the first one is Oniken, and it very much reminds me of a game kind of like Ninja Gaiden, old school 8-bit style, like so much 8-bit style that I feel like this could have shipped on the Nintendo Entertainment System back in the day. It's got like 8-bit style to it, fantastic score, but it's like this old school 8-bit Castlevania or Ninja Gaiden style game where you play a guy fighting against robots. It's got a bunch of Terminator references in it. And the game's been out before, but it's coming to the Nintendo Switch. And if you want to know more about it, make sure that you watch the video when it comes out next Thursday. That's when the embargo is up, and I'll actually be able to talk about it again. Also next Thursday, Odalis, which is another Metroidvania game, 8-bit style from the same company. It's another Nintendo Switch first look, and that game, it's a lot more like Castlevania than Ninja Gaiden. So if you're looking for something a little more Castlevania-y, then that one might be up your alley. That is also coming out next Thursday, again around noon Eastern time, when the embargo's up. But a game that I can talk about today, and I uploaded a video about it earlier, is Robothorium. Robothorium is this turn-based RPG-style game. It feels a lot like a mobile game that has been ported to Switch, and I don't know because I didn't look to see if it was on the App Store or anything, but it very much feels like a mobile game. Like the characters don't move around the screen very much. It's really it's fun. It's definitely fun, and there's a good risk reward system going on. When I was playing Robothorium, one of the things that I thought was really cool about it that kind of separates it out from other games that are like this, a turn-based RPG style game, is you select your robots, that because it's basically you're the robots and the humans are jerks and you're trying to get rid of the humans, fight for robot freedom. And you select your robots and you go into the tutorial mode, basically, which is all I've played so far. And whenever you use your default attack, actually, let me rephrase. Whenever you use your special attacks, so every kind of character will have a different special attack. Every time you use one of those, you gain what's called overcharge. And you have a maximum overcharge of 100. And every time you use a special attack, it goes up. If you use your default attack, that that overcharge number goes down. Okay? And if you hit your overcharge 100, if you go past that 100 number because you used too many of your special attacks, what happens is that you are then stunned and defenseless for a full turn. So there's a really cool risk reward system where you might decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and push my character into overcharge mode, and then he'll be stunned, but if I do that, it might take out this guy, this enemy that I have to attack. And if that happens, then what would be really great is then he can't do his attack on my turn. And that's going to lower the overall damage that my team takes for the next turn. So in the long run, it'll be better for me to stun my guy for two turns and see what happens. And that could backfire on you. And I think it's a cool risk reward system. You can also, like, the different robots have different abilities. So when I made it, you have three robots to choose from. And I picked one that was really good at attacking, one that was like a tank that could soak up the damage, and one that's a healer. And when I used the overcharge, when I overcharged, because I wanted to find out what happened, I overcharged my attacker on purpose in order to take out somebody. Then what I could have done as an option, and I didn't because the enemy team was so low at that time, but what I could have done as an option, I could have had the tank protect that overcharged attacker, or I could have had my healer ready to throw heals on them. So it's a fun game. It's very interesting. I don't know if it's a must buy, but definitely check it out and see what you think of the video. And maybe, you know, that'll help you make a decision on whether or not Robothorium is for you. I believe it came out today. I'm not sure because I got a couple of dates kind of swimming around up there in the old noggin. But I think Robothorium came out today, and I know that my video for it came out today. So make sure that you guys check that out, and that'll give you a perspective of what that game looks like on Nintendo Switch. Overall, I thought it was pretty fun. But the other two video or the other two games that I talked about earlier, I like those more. So that's what I've been playing today. Let's talk about the news.
Nuts for Nintendo.
I have to be honest, I'm kind of sick of talking about Nintendo's sales figures, so this is going to be the last time that I mention it for a while. The only reason I'm mentioning it at all today is because Nintendo gave us some official financial data. They post this once per quarter, and this information is as of December 31st, 2018. Nintendo has now sold 32.27 million units, and that's a really impressive number, especially if you consider the Nintendo 3DS, which is an insanely popular system, sold 74 million, well, actually 75 million units so far, and Nintendo Switch is almost halfway there already. That's pretty crazy. Well, not quite almost halfway there, but it's on its way. The software has been equally really impressive. I've talked about this before. Developer after developer has said how their sales on Nintendo Switch have been just dwarfing everything else that they have their games on. Nintendo people who have Nintendo Switch seem to really like to buy video games, and the software sold for Nintendo Switch is 163 million units. So if we want to know how many games does the average Switch owner have, so that'd be game per owner. So 163 divided by 32. So according to that, it looks like the average person who has a Nintendo Switch has 5 games for it. That's pretty impressive for a system that's only a couple of years old. I think that this is really good news for Nintendo. But again, that 20 million mark for fiscal year 2018, only time will tell. And I'm not going to say, I'm going to try not to say another word about it until Nintendo either lets us know that, hey, they hit that 20 million mark, or no, they didn't. Because that's just, I mean, I've been talking about it long enough. I definitely want some closure to it. But I'm going to try not to talk about sales again for Nintendo Switch. But what do you guys think? Do you think they're going to get there? With 32 million sold so far, I think it's definitely a possibility.
Nintendo, please hold.
One moment.
Thank you. May I help you?
And in Seattle, at the company's U.S. headquarters, they listen to the customers.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions for you. Question number one. Do you like Mark Hamill as the Joker? All right, go ahead and answer. Let everybody around you know what you think, okay? All right, I do. I think he's a great Joker. I think he's probably my favorite Joker. Question number two, do you like Zelda games? My guess is if you're listening to this podcast, probably yes, but, you know, who really knows? And number three, do you wish that there was a darker Zelda game that was a little like creepier, I guess. So if you answered yes to those questions, which I think most people listening to this probably did, then I've got some good news for you. Darksiders War Mastered Edition is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Now, what is Darksiders? It's a game I've never played. I've heard excellent, excellent things about it. Okay. But Darksiders is basically, for all intents and purposes, a Zelda clone. And I'm not talking about Breath of the Wild, even though I adore Breath of the Wild. This is much more of a traditional Zelda clone, where not the top-down, but the 3D. You play as one of the, and this is from memory of a game that I have not played and have only been told about, but you play as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I don't know which one. Actually, I think in each Darksiders game, it might be a different one, but I could be wrong about that. You play as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and there is, you basically solve problems just like in Zelda. You know, move the block over there, use the item that you got in the dungeon in order to defeat the boss, that kind of stuff. Bravd in chat is letting me know that it is war that you are playing as. You are the god of war, not that god of war, okay? And he also says Darksiders is good. You play as war in the first one, and death is in the second one, and then in the third one, I think you play as I can't remember the third one, but that's not important. So why did I ask about Mark Hamill as the Joker? Well, Mark Hamill does the voice acting for a character in this game. It's kind of like almost, just from what I've seen before, it's almost what I would describe as their equivalent to Navi in Ocarina of Time. So Navi is like this little sprite that tells you things so that you will know what to do without the game. Like, it's Nintendo's way of giving you a tutorial through the whole game for when new things come up without stopping the action and bringing up stuff on screen and saying, okay, read all this stuff. It's different. And Navi is this, you know, is also like a targeting mechanism. I get the feeling from what I've seen that Mark Hamill voices a character that is kind of like Navi, that it tells you things and is kind of almost in your head as well. And he sounds exactly like the Joker, which is really great. It's like every time I've seen any video of it, that one little bit of Mark Hamill doing his Joker voice in this game just makes me want to play it because he's just awesome. So Darksiders War Mastered Edition is coming to the Nintendo Switch. This is courtesy of Wario64. If you don't follow Wario64 on Twitter, you absolutely should, because he constantly tweets. I think I'm pretty sure he's a bot, but he constantly posts like deals and when things are going on sale. So definitely follow at Wario64 on Twitter. And that's how I found out about Darksiders War Mastered Edition coming to the Nintendo Switch. We don't have a date yet. Well, actually, maybe we do. I didn't actually click on the video. Let me mute the video so that we don't cause problems here. And I'm going to skip to the end of the video and see if they tell us the release date. And where is it? Darksiders War Mastered Edition, where's the release date? No release date. No release date. That's too bad. All right. So, you know, if you like Zelda games, traditional Zelda games, then I think that you are going to be excited for Darksiders War Mastered Edition on Nintendo Switch, especially if you haven't played any of them. I might actually check it out. I don't know why I haven't yet.
Game Boy, only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power. Portable power.
Well, there have been multiple reports that people... Oh my God, my whole house just shook. Plow went by. There have been multiple reports of Piranha Plant, who was just added to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate the other day. And people who have been using him in All-Star mode have been reporting, this is so bad, that their game was erased. And all of the stuff that they had done, you know, all of the spirits that they unlocked, all of the characters that they had unlocked, all of that stuff is just gone. I cannot imagine how irritated they must be. Like, when I had finally unlocked all of the characters in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, I think I probably had over 200 matches played. That's a lot of time to invest in a game and have all of that just erased because of some kind of bug. So what I would recommend, this is just a PSA to everybody, I would recommend that if you really like All-Star mode and you're looking forward to playing it with Piranha Plant, I would hold off. I would wait. I wouldn't do it anytime soon. I would wait until Nintendo says something about it, because you don't want your game erased. That would be really upsetting. That being said, I wanted to talk about Piranha Plant just a little bit. He is really fun. I don't like him as much as Pac-Man. Pac-Man is my main character in Smash. I really like Pac-Man. But Piranha Plant is really, really fun and really strange at the same time. So he's got some really interesting moves. And the one move that two moves make him really, really unique on that. The first one is his neutral B. His neutral B, he kind of like stiffens his neck and shoots a little like a spiky ball up into the air and then just kind of blows air at it to keep it. It kind of moves up and down and up and down. And then you can use the left or the right on your left stick to decide which direction to throw it, which is really neat, especially because as it moves up and down, that changes the distance that it's going to go. This makes for an incredibly high skill ceiling for Piranha Plant. I think that his ability to throw his projectile a different distances, like at will, especially if you're really good, I think that makes it a really high skill ceiling character. I also really like, he's got this other ability, I think it's his down B, and he kind of compresses himself down into his flower pot, and then the player gets to kind of tip the pot either left or right, and once it's tipped and then you let go, he shoots out of the pot and goes really, really far, has a really long reach, and hits really hard as well. Those are the two abilities that I found that really make him unique. He also has like a poison ability where he kind of charges it up and then spits it out. Although I was having trouble because sometimes I felt like it was spitting the poison out when I hadn't charged it. And I'm not sure if like that's intended or if I was doing something weird. But I feel like the poison cloud is very, very similar to, Ness's fire, where he throws like the little fire thing on the ground and it kind of, you know, it burns in front of him. And if you go into it, you take damage. It's very similar to that. But those other two abilities are really, really unique to him. And I love the way that Nintendo can take a character and make them very unique and not feel like any of the other 70 whatever characters that are in the game. I think that's so cool. And I think I tweeted about this the other day. And if Nintendo doesn't have a Piranha Plant like chasing down Mario, now that we can clearly see that Piranha Plant can burst through the bottom of his little flower pot and get around on his little legs, and sure, he's slow. But Nintendo's missing an opportunity if they don't try and capitalize on this and make Piranha Plant chase Mario down in the next Mario game. I think that would be really awesome. But I think that Piranha Plant is awesome. Don't play him in All-Star mode because it may erase your game. And I'm looking forward to when Joker from Persona 5 comes to Smash Brothers. And I'm also looking forward to hearing what other characters Nintendo is going to put their ridiculous spin on to make yet another unique character in Smash. And I know that there's some people furiously typing at me right now, you know, Bill, these, you know, there's plenty of clones in the game, like Echo characters. Not all of the characters in the game are unique. And I understand that, but Piranha Plant is nothing like any of the others. And I think it's really cool. And the same can be said for King K. Rool. Like, King K. Rool doesn't feel like the other characters in the game. Pac-Man doesn't feel like the other characters. Sure, Isabelle plays like Villager, but again, she's got her own spin on it. And even though she's an Echo character, I feel like she feels pretty unique too, with her fishing pole and the little traps that she can set down. Anyway, let me know what you guys think of Piranha Plant in Smash Brothers Ultimate. If you're watching this on YouTube, let me know in the comments right down below. Or you can head on over to your email client and email me, runjumpstomp@gmail.com.
Oh, no, Mario. We've got to do something.
I got it. You help us find Donkey Kong, and we'll help you find Herman.
Mortal Kombat 11, we already knew it was coming to Nintendo Switch, even though they didn't mention it when they unveiled it at the Game Awards. It was later confirmed that it was coming to the Nintendo Switch. And, you know, it's supposed to be coming on, I think it's April 24th. However, if you live in Europe, it is delayed. This is according to Nintendo of Europe's official UK store. So if you go to the official UK store, let me open that up real quick and I can show you guys what I mean. You can go to Mortal Kombat 11 on there, and if you scroll down, and you want to buy the Mortal Kombat 11 plus Pixel Pals, whatever thing. Here we go. Mortal Kombat 11. If I want to pre-order that, I can click on pre-order. It added it to my basket. No, that's not what I want. I don't care about the basket. It should say the date on there someplace. Where's the release date? I looked it up earlier and it was there. This is annoying. Where did it go? Ah, there we go. Okay. Delivery. Here we go. I found it. Release date. That's amazing audio, Bill. Great job. The release date is the 10th of May, 2019. Now, some people might say, well, how come it's delayed? I don't know, but it's not delayed if you buy it from the US store, which is kind of weird. So if I go to the official Nintendo store and I type in Mortal Kombat and I click on it and it comes up, it says $59.99, and I scroll down and it says release date, April 23rd, 2019. So it seems like the delay is only for Europe. And I don't know what the cause of that is, but I'm sure that there's people who are going to be upset by that, especially after it was after we found out that there was no collector's edition for the Nintendo Switch version. Like, there were some people who were mad about that. But if you pre-order the game, you could still unlock Shao Kahn. I'm not interested in Mortal Kombat 11, like, even a little. It's not a game for me. I've got my fighting game. It's Smash Ultimate. I've got ARMS. I've got plenty of fighting games around the Switch. And Mortal Kombat just, I feel like it's gone downhill ever since Mortal Kombat 2, which I always thought was like the best one. But that being said, it's delayed in Europe for some reason. We don't know why. But in the US, it's not delayed. Now, if I don't know if that's just physical copies, but here's a little piece of information for you. If you didn't know, Nintendo Switch is region free. So if you want to buy the US version, it's perfectly possible for you to do so. All you have to do is make a US account on your Switch. And there's, if you just Google how to do that, it's super easy. And then you can buy stuff from the other regions. And then if you buy stuff from that region, you can play it. Because I bought, I think it was Kamiko is the name of it. I bought that from the Japanese eShop because I heard it was really good. And then I played it using my normal US, what's the word I'm looking for? My normal US account. Now, I know that there's probably some people who are like, oh, well, I'll go do that so that I don't have to wait until halfway through May. And I can understand why you might do that. But what we don't know is if the regions will be restricted via online play. So I don't know if only US people can play with only US people and only UK people can play with only UK people. And buying the US version, if you live in UK, might be a bad idea because you may end up only being able to fight against people in the US. And that means you're going to have a high ping. And there's going to be lag, and it's just not going to be as good. So I would take the region-free escape route out only if you're willing to risk that. That being said, I don't know why it's delayed, but there you go. It's delayed. Looks like we're going to have to wait to play Mortal Kombat 11 over in Europe. And I don't know why.
Sega, hot hits today, hot hits on the way. Plug in to today's hottest arcade hit.
Well, everybody, that's it for the show today. The music that you heard on the show can be found over at runjumpstomp.com/music. I want you guys to join the Nerd Nest. If you haven't already joined the Nerd Nest, there's a couple ways to do that. Email me, runjumpstomp@gmail.com. Become a part of the community by going over to runjumpstomp.com/discord. You can watch the show live over at twitch.tv/runjumpstomp. You can watch the videos over at youtube.com/runjumpstomp. And of course, if you're looking for ways to support the show, there's a billion ways to do it. Just head on over to runjumpstomp.com/thank you. Again, if the episodes disappear, go to anchor.fm.nsc for Nintendo Switchcraft. That's anchor.fm/nsc. And I would hope to hear from you guys soon. Have a good one. And man, I cannot talk today, so I'm going to shut up now. Bye bye. Thank you.